Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to be welcome to join me in the show this evening. It's Carrie McLennan, who is the Programme Director of the MA Honours in Education at the University of Dundee. Hi Carrie, welcome to Edutalk.
Hi David, thanks for having me.
Now, very shortly we'll be hearing from two of the MA Year 3 students at Dundee University, a fascinating piece of audio which I'm sure you'll all enjoy. And just to kind of lead us into that particular contribution, Carrie, it would be great to hear a little bit about the changes or the development of the MA in Education programme. And first of all, I'd like to ask you how it kind of ties in with the Teaching Scotland's Future report from Graham Donaldson several years ago.
Yeah, well, Teaching Scotland's Future was the main driver for, well, not just Dundee, but all teacher education institutes in Scotland to look at what they were doing and move away from the BEd format. And I suppose a key difference with the BEd format, it could be the case that people would go to primary school, go to secondary school, go to university and study a very teacher-focused degree where they would gain a lot of skills about being practitioners, but they wouldn't look at a wider educational context in terms of their own academic abilities and knowledge and understanding. And from that, they would then springboard into induction and go back into primary school. So a couple of key drivers for us with Donaldson was that the students should have a broader educational experience. So trying to make sure that they're coming to the classroom not just with that knowledge of the pedagogy of how to teach, you know, social studies, science, etc., but with a broader educational university study which would enhance their teaching, perhaps in a more indirect fashion. A second aspect of Donaldson was, and it links into this initiative to try and broaden teachers' horizons, is to create more outward-looking teachers, again, who can see beyond the four walls of the classroom. And Dundee's response to that was to develop a module in second year called Learning from Life, which is a module designed to be undertaken in anywhere except a Scottish primary context, so that the students, many of our students actually have chosen to go abroad. Obviously, some people have family constraints, but many of our students have chosen to do things like country dancing teaching in Australia, work with educational charities in Sri Lanka, go to the States for more sort of funded charity teaching, and also work in some of our school contacts, for instance, in international baccalaureate schools in Slovenia, an international school in Spain, and so on. And also our students have benefited from home contexts such as working for local charities for the homeless, working in local museum services. I mean, the list is actually endless, but so long as it's an educational context where they're not just back into the primary school again. Another aspect of Donaldson was looking in detail at maths and science education, so this, I guess the STEM subjects and also literacy, and we have got specific modules where we're looking at maths and science and language in response to Donaldson. So every teacher education programme looked at the Donaldson report, and we've all developed our own programmes according to the recommendations. However, they do look quite different.
And the way that the MA is structured presently, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting from students and from colleagues at other schools of education?
I think one of the things that we get fed back to us from students is they tend to come to Dundee because Dundee offers a placement in first year that's a six-week placement, and not all the other teacher education institutes focus on such an intensive experience. So that's a key reason for students choosing Dundee. The second reason is they enjoy the thought of the Learning from Life placement because they find it attractive. You know, though, it's horses for courses. You know, the students that come to us have obviously decided that Dundee is for them. So, you know, only today a first-year student was saying to me, I like the fact that, you know, we get our hands right into teaching, as it were, in first year. And also Dundee is a programme, I guess, that's got you know, quite a lot still of the pedagogy aspects of teaching, but mixed in with the broader educational experience. So, for instance, our students do one elective subject from a wider from the wider university in first year, and another one in second year, whereas other degree courses tend to, you know, maybe have more of a joint degree structure, or students look at, you know, specifically other subject areas entirely separate from education. But of course, students will vote with their feet and go for what suits them.
Can you say a bit more then about the kind of different pathways, for want of a better phrase, that are available? I mean, I understand that one particular option is to go down a route that kind of leads to some kind of qualification that's valid in international baccalaureate schools.
Yeah, that's actually very new. It's new for us this year. We were accredited in March for what's called the IB Teacher Certificate in Teaching and Learning. Now, what that means is that we've linked in certain modules have to have an IB content. So, for instance, students that want to pursue that qualification, instead of learning from life in second year, they have to undertake a six-week practicum in an IB school. Also, there is where they can pick a second-year elective in the wider university, an IB pathway student will pick a module which looks specifically at pedagogy, philosophy and practice of the International Baccalaureate, which prepares them for the practicum. And then in fourth year, where our other students are all doing their double module thesis research study, the IB students will pick a thesis, exactly the same in structure, but they'll pick a thesis which has to have an IB focus. Now, that doesn't automatically give them the qualification. What they then have to do is when they graduate and they wish to go for the qualification, I think it costs about £100, and they contact the IB themselves. But the IB will look at their graduation and say, right, you came from Dundee, that's accredited, therefore, yes, that's fine, you can have the certificate. And that opens doors to them. I guess not only to teach in IB schools in the world, but, you know, it gives them, I suppose, a benchmark of being internationally minded. So hopefully they could work anywhere they wanted to. And many of our students, while they want to be in Scotland, working abroad for 2, 3, 4, 5 years is quite an attractive option for them.
So you mentioned about the kind of STEM options and IB. Are there any other kind of strands or pathways that they can follow?
Yeah, I mean, they're not official strands as such, but for instance, we've tried to structure our programme so that, let's say a student is interested in modern languages, they can study a modern language. And what's quite nice, actually, is the Centre for Applied Language Studies in the university test them when they go to their department, and they then assess them on their progress rather than saying you have to be at a certain level before you will come in. So they'll take beginners right through to advanced speakers. So imagine a student may want to come in and study maybe French in year one, Spanish in year two. In third year and fourth year, they pick a pedagogy elective in the 8 different curriculum areas. So they could pick up a pedagogy module elective in modern languages, and they could do their thesis on modern languages, and that then gives them a specialism. Alternatively, they could decide that they don't want to do a specialism, that they want to be very generalist. So they could do, in first year, they could pick up an English module. In second year, they could do a philosophy or a politics or a history, film studies, math, science, something that they're interested in, either because they find it interesting and they're quite good at it, or because they want to pick the challenge. And then in third and fourth year, they'll pick two entirely different pedagogy modules. So we offer quite a lot of flexibility, I would say. And our students tend to quite enjoy the flexibility approach rather than necessarily specialising. Although I think modern languages, for those who are interested in modern languages, they enjoy that opportunity to follow that one through, because they're becoming increasingly aware of 1+2.
Mm-hmm, of course. Now, we're just about to hear from Natalie McKnight and Iona Gillis, but thank you so much for taking time out to join us on EduTalk. Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble, and I'm broadcasting today from the University of Dundee, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Natalie McKnight and Iona Gillis. And we're going to be talking about some aspects of the
the teacher training course that they are presently enrolled on. So Natalie, starting with yourself, could you just give us a kind of brief background to who you are and how you've ended up to be on the present course?
So I'm from Dundee originally, and I know I've always wanted to be a teacher since I was a little girl, but when I was looking at different courses and what universities offered the teaching, I decided to go to Dundee because they were the first to launch the MA programme. And for me, that was something that was giving me almost an advantage to other teachers in Scotland, because I'd be graduating with something unique rather than graduating with the bachelor's.
I'm actually from Glasgow originally, and for the same reasons as Natalie, Dundee had launched the MA programme before any of the other universities, and I felt that gave me more confidence going into it.
And we've heard on previous shows and other shows that are yet to be broadcast on EduTalk about the kind of unique nature or the kind of improved version of teacher education that's available presently at the university. So maybe starting with yourself, Natalie, can you say about why it is or it appears to be giving you maybe a future advantage in the job market?
Yeah, well, the Donaldson report that came out in 2010, it spoke about how a lot of teachers were coming from school to university to back to school and not getting that worldly experience. And I myself, I came straight from school to university. However, the MA programme offers students to choose elective modules out with the education programme. So for me, I've been doing quite a lot of work on languages, which, although I know will benefit me within the classroom, it will also help if I was to have a child who was to come in from another background. For example, I've been learning British Sign Language, so I could have a pupil come in who's got a hearing impairment, which will benefit me within the school. However, if I wanted to teach abroad, I have German and Spanish now as well. So the university has been able to offer us this wider experience of education that will benefit us within the classroom and out with the classroom.
I wonder about yourself, what's kind of attracted you to the course, or you know, what kind of experiences have proven that you have made the correct choice and where you're studying?
Well, like Natalie, I came straight from school, and I was worried, like she said, about coming from school to university back to teaching in schools. But the MA programme gave us the opportunities to do different things in the modules and with the learning from life placement, where we're out either within an educational setting or not, that's not a primary school, that then helps us develop the skills that we'll need as classroom teachers and as professionals. I feel like it's built my confidence a lot more, so I'm not just limited to classroom teaching of a specific style, but I'm, you know, I can choose my own kind of methods and draw on other experiences, not just at university or at school before I came.
So in terms of the electives that Natalie was talking about, what kind of choices have you made? Is it similar, or have you gone down different avenues?
Similarly to Natalie, I did languages as well. At school I did a lot of French, so in first year at university I chose French to develop that, so I had a deeper knowledge of it, to speak it and also to teach it. And last year I did German, which I'd never done before, and that's a new experience, and I feel like it's opened new doors, especially now with the 1+2 approach. I feel more confident that I can help pupils with languages and other aspects of the curriculum through my choices and the university.
I'm just wondering how you managed to fit everything into the course then. I can't remember what it was called at Jordan Hill. It was kind of generic issues in teaching or something like that. So the kind of underpinning theory, and I know that you've embarked on a much longer course of teacher education as opposed to just a kind of 32-week postgraduate course. But how do you manage to fit in, or how is it taught to you, the kind of knowledge and understanding around the kind of general issues and the general theory of education and schooling and pedagogies?
Every year we've had an educational studies module which looks at different aspects, whether they're historical or social or including comparative education. So we're not only looking at Scottish education systems, we're looking at throughout history education systems and around the world different education systems, and then hopefully we can bring some knowledge from there into our own practice and not just stick with what we've always done in Scotland. And that fits in as one of the modules in one semester, and the other modules. We do two other modules in the first semester and then two modules and our placement module in the second semester.
I think as well it helps that a lot of our tutors and lecturers are very supportive and enthusiastic for us to go and find out our own kind of style of what we want to do. For example, we've had a different input, so we've looked at different theorists and ways of teaching styles, but rather than just being given one input on one theorist, one input on a teaching style, we've been given a range of different things and been told, whatever you feel interests you, go out and look for it yourself. In addition to that, I think it makes us more independent and ready for teaching, rather than just being... It's almost like we're given the opportunity to find out our own things, which we will be doing as teachers, rather than just being given, this is what we think, so this is what you'll learn, which I think is really good.
You've talked about how the Donaldson Report, Teaching Scotland's mm-hmm. Future, has appears to have impacted so significantly on the programmes available in the AMA at Dundee. But also the key policy development in recent years has been curriculum for excellence, and again with maybe my own background, getting it right for every child. So that plus your 1+2 and all your other kind of policies that have come from the Scottish Government, are you taught about these, or is it self-study to go and find out, or is it all encompassing? Does it cover kind of everything that you do, and does it permeate all the courses, for example?
As students, like we would be as teachers, we're expected to keep up with the most recent and relevant policies. But we were given in university, we had a whole module last year about interagency working, and that was looking at policies not just for teaching but for all of the different agencies that come together in education. So the university encourages us and supports us in meeting these policies, and so that we have a deep understanding of what's expected of us once we leave the university.
In addition to that, we're also, because we're given such a range of modules, for example, last year, although I was doing languages out with the MA programme, we were also looking at languages in one module, and with that we spoke a lot about the 1+2, and just kind of different modules will give you different understandings of what different policies mean for that area of subjects.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to something that I think you mentioned right at the start, Natalie, the Learning for Life placement. I'm going to assume that EduTalk listeners don't know anything about this placement, but it does sound absolutely fascinating. So starting with yourself and then we'll hear from Iona, can you talk about, firstly, the process around the Learning for Life placement and what kind of impact it's had on you?
Well, before I start saying anything, I just want to emphasise that so far at university, this has been the best opportunity that I've ever been given. And I think it will be the best opportunity I will be given throughout university, because it's something that's brought me to a deeper understanding of different aspects of the classroom. However, I'm now more, I suppose, just aware in general as what my placement was. However, Learning from Life, it's a placement that can either be done in Scotland, abroad, wherever you choose, as long as it's not in a Scottish primary school teaching. So with that, I've always known I wanted to go into working with children with additional support needs. To begin with my placement, I started looking at different areas where I maybe wanted to work. However, I know I couldn't teach in a Scottish primary school, which made it a bit difficult, because in Dundee we've got King's Park Primary School, which is a fantastic school, got fantastic facilities and staff and pupils, but I wasn't unfortunately able to go there. So I started thinking a little bit more what kind of thing I wanted to do. However, this was just before, as Iona has previously stated, our interagency module, and one of the guest speakers who came in was from Dundee's Multisensory Services. So I started speaking to her, meeting up with her, and I decided that I wanted to go into working with children who had visual and hearing impairments, which was really interesting because it wasn't just working with primary school pupils, it was working with newborn babies, children who were at nursery, primary school children who were in high school, children who were leaving high school. So I got a wide range of experiences from that, and it's now not only just made me more prepared for the classroom, but it's made me more aware of what I want to do as a teacher. I don't want to stay in the classroom for my entire life. I want to be able to go out and work with children who've maybe got a hearing impairment and then hopefully become a teacher of the deaf.
Now, Iona, when Natalie was mentioning about the incredible impact that it had, you nodding vigorously, I'll get the name right this time. How has the learning from life placement worked for yourself?
Well, I completely agree with Natalie in that it's the best experience that I've had at university in terms of informing my practice. And, you know, we all thought when we were first told we were going on a placement not in a Scottish primary school that it was ridiculous and how would this help us? I was based in Glasgow Museums for my placement, which have an extensive educational programme, not just for children but for adults. So I had a wide range, like Natalie said, of working with different groups of people in an educational setting like Glasgow Museums. And this, the way that they work is not as structured as following the curriculum or in classroom practice. But they all have their own system and their own style. And I think they're more relaxed but not relaxed way of teaching within this setting has completely changed the way that I feel about teaching and how I want to be when I'm in classrooms or not in classrooms. Like Natalie said, it's shown us that we're not limited to being primary teachers forever only in a classroom setting, but we can use this degree in a range of ways in different educational or not educational settings.
Again, I'm thinking about my own experiences. You know, everybody would go out on placement, and I'm sure you've all gone out into placement in schools at the same time. But would it be right in saying with the Learning from Life programme, you're all going out into very varied environments, but at the same time. So I'm wondering how, in your own experiences, you've gone about supporting each other, or is it a case that you then have to rely on support from these other people in these various education establishments who are not going through the same programme as you at the same time? Sounds like, now, we would all do that when we're out in a school placement as well, but it just seems that the dynamics might be slightly different for that period of time.
With the Learning from Life placement, there was a huge emphasis on us taking responsibility for our own learning within whatever setting we were in. So we each all chose our own placement. We all chose our own goals for the placement. So it was maybe an area that you weren't as confident in. So I wanted to be able to communicate with different groups of people because we've had the experience of working in schools with children. But as teachers, we're going to have to work with a variety of people, not just children. And I wanted to build confidence in that. So that was my main goal for this placement. But Natalie and all the other students would have different ones. While we were on placement, the university supported us in that they made sure that we were learning from our placement and we weren't just being put in an office somewhere and left to get on with whatever we'd been left with. And we supported each other in that because we were all doing such different things, the opportunity to talk about it. I feel like we were learning from each other despite not being in the same places.
In addition to what Iona was saying, her placement goals were to go out to communicate with a different range of people. Now, her and I placements were completely different ends of the scale, but that was my goal as well, to go out and work with different people, communicate with children and young adults in a completely different sense, which is exactly what Iona was doing, but just taken in completely different contexts. So although we were doing completely different placements, if we were to have any issues, we knew that we had each other to support one another because our goals were the same. And I think that's a good thing, that you can share the same goals with somebody who's doing a Learning from Life placement, but it's in completely different contexts. So, for example, Iona could have been working with an adult, for example, and she could have learnt some different things from working with adults that I hadn't yet came across. So although it's a completely different context, it's still working with the same age range and people that you're working with, which was good.
Natalie, I'm just wondering, my background is a distance support needs in non-mainstream setting, and it took me decades, really decades, to eventually get to that kind of place where I probably always wanted to be in terms of my career. You're saying you've had a positive experience through the Learning for Life placement in a non-mainstream setting. How are you then supported, if at all, for the rest of this course, until you graduate as a teacher, and to actually reach that, what seems to be a current goal of yours, to actually work in an ESN setting. I'm assuming that, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm assuming that based partly on what you're saying, that we're still not in a situation where as an undergraduate you can train to work in solely an ESN setting.
No, I think you're completely correct in saying that, and that is something that I feel quite passionate about, is learning to work with a different range of people. However, because of the different modules that we have had at the university, we are directed to read into working with different ranges of people, whether it's working with a child who's maybe lost a parent, how to support that child in different ways, how to use the curriculum in different ways to support them, or working maybe with a child who's got an additional support need. How can you use language, literacy, drama, art to support them? Like, Nicky Doyle has been fantastic in giving us a range of different inputs through our expressive arts module that's stated as you have to work within an inclusive environment. It's not just supporting the majority of the group or the one child, it's making it accessible to all. So I think, although I'm not doing modules that are focusing on additional support needs, the modules that we are doing are got a very inclusive feel to them, where we are learning how to work with all children and getting it right for every child rather than just the majority or the single child. Though all our modules do cover curricular areas, as I said previously, we are given the choice to do elective modules. And this year and next year, we're looking at curricular-based modules. And this year, we're both doing expressive arts. And my reason for doing expressive arts is, since I was a little girl, I've always enjoyed dancing, singing, acting, music, everything. But I've never felt comfortable to teach it, because they're almost got that idea that if you're teaching expressive arts, it's a messy, it's kind of chaotic, children will get hyper. Whereas once we've done inputs in, for example, expressive arts, I've came out feeling more confident in how to teach them because of the ways that we've been taught within the lectures, which has been really good.
Yeah, I would agree. At school, art and music were the subjects that I really enjoyed the most, and I would say I was the best at. But I don't know, although I can do it, I wasn't confident how to teach or support children so that they can do it too. So I think this module, for the same reasons Natalie said, it's developing confidence in teaching, not just doing.
Yeah.
And what else is on the horizon then as you work towards the end of the course? What other kind of experiences are you going to be given as another kind of traditional placement ahead?
Yeah, next semester we're going into an early years placement. So we're given a placement of 6 weeks in an early years classroom, either primary 1, 2 or 3. And then for 2 weeks we're also given a nursery placement, which I think is a fantastic opportunity, because it's not something that you can always see yourself doing, but like learning from life, you never know where that placement's going to go. If you really enjoy the nursery, nurseries do need a primary school teacher to be working within that setting. So that could, again, change a lot of our opinions of where we want to be within the classroom or where we want to be within the school.
And just briefly, Natalie, what's the nature of the support or the observation and assessment within, for example, that kind of placement? I'm thinking back to, I think somebody would come in the first week, check you're okay, you'd hope you had a supportive department, and then they would come in and do a couple of crit lessons, and that was it, and the pressure all built towards those two events, so to speak. In what ways has that changed?
Well, we do still have our crit, where we do have a formative and a summative crit, where they say to us, if you need help, need anything, we're here for you 100%. If you need to meet up before placement, during placement, the university staff are fantastic for making you almost a priority, which is amazing because they've got so many other years to work with. It is still quite the same where we do have our crits, where our lecturers will come in. However, with the formative, we've been given the opportunity where we can do a lesson, our lecturers are able to observe us and then take us aside and say, that went well because of this reason, this reason, this reason. And then I think that gives us more of a, again, an independent way to go forward with it. Rather than them saying, next lesson, do this, do that, they say to us, this all went well in this way. However, if you could do some reading on this, it will make you more confident in whatever area it is you're working on.
Natalie was saying the formative assessment allows us to have our lecturers visit. Yes, they're assessing us, but they're assessing us to help us improve before our final assessment, the summative assessment. And that, I felt when we were in school before, that that made me more confident because I knew then where I had to work on and what I could do specifically for my practice to get better before my summative assessment.
I think as well, we've also got the Blackboard Learning, where all our modules and inputs are put up online. So even if we do finish off our first year, our modules are still there. So, for example, this year we've been looking at expressive arts, and there's been a few times where I've gone, oh, we did a lot of that in first year, and I'm able to then redirect myself back to previous learning, which I think is really important because a lot of the time you kind of think, right, I've learned that already, push that to the side, on to the next thing. Whereas the university almost offer us a way of continuously learning and taking things that we've already learned in previous years and modules to then use in different ways for future modules as well, which is fantastic.
Just finally, again, for somebody maybe at my stage in the career, it's all about career-long professional learning and the so-called middle standard, and we've got professional update now as well, which I'm sure you're kind of immersed in even at this stage in your career. So to what extent do you feel the university is preparing you to be a lifelong learner as an educational professional?
The emphasis of a lot of our assessment and continual tasks that we're set after lectures is on reflection. So from our first day at university, we were told, you know, we need to start developing reflective skills because we're going to use them throughout our careers. And I almost feel that placement was where I really finally understood the reflective part of these assessments, because when you're in lectures, you can reflect upon a lecture, but the real reflection comes from reflecting on your own practice. So in placement, because we were throughout the years learning how to reflect, it almost came naturally. After a lesson, I was thinking, okay, what did I do well? Why did it go well? What didn't go so well? How can I improve that for next time? And that's a continual voice in my head. It's making me always want to improve. And I think that's what the university is encouraging us to do. It's not saying, right, okay, I got that lesson, it was really good, and so I've done a good lesson, that's it, done. Because as well as the lesson might be, if it was perfect, which it never will be, we can then take whatever went well in one lecture, in one lesson, and apply it to a next lesson that maybe didn't go so well. And it's about that continual learning, continual reflection.
In addition to that, we have advisors of studies that we get given at the start of the year. And every semester we'll meet up with our advisor of studies, and they encourage us to bring back previous assignments handed in and looking at different ways that we've improved, but ways that we can take parts of our assignment and apply them in different ways in our writing styles and things like that. So it's really good to have this kind of continuous learning applied at university, so we get into the habit of doing that throughout our careers. Because that it's true what people say, like, as a teacher you're continuously learning. Although you're teaching, you're learning as well, whether it be from yourself, your own mistakes, or from the pupils you're working with. So I think it's really important that the university does make a big emphasis on that.
Natalie, from your own perspective, do you think your emphasis as you go into kind of first and second year of as a teacher, that you will focus on your kind of practice within the school and the supports that you'll get through there, or do you think you would like to continue formal study, or would that be something that would come maybe slightly later on after a few years' experience?
I definitely think it's important to have solid years within the classroom, even just the skills that you need to become good at organising, like organising different lessons and activities within the classroom. So I think it is really important to be able to have that classroom awareness before going on to somewhere else within your career. So I'm hoping to maybe teach 5 to 10 years within the classroom and see what's happening within Dundee and out with Dundee to be able to pursue my career in becoming a teacher of the deaf.
I know it's some years in the future, Huilna, but what about yourself? What are you thinking in terms of this whole kind of career-long learning? Is it about focused on solely on practice, or do you think you would benefit from dedicating some time for formal study?
I think the way that the programme that we're doing at the moment is structured, it's to let us develop in ourselves, do we want to be primary school teachers in a classroom, or do we want to be primary school teachers in a classroom but look at the wider scope of education. So I feel like, yes, I still want to be a primary school teacher, but I don't know where that might lead me. Like I said, I really enjoy the educational studies and looking at policies and theories, and that might be something that I want to look into further down the line. But at the moment, yes, I'm just focusing on being a primary school teacher.
I'll just remind listeners, you've been hearing from Natalie McKnight and Iona Gillis, who are MA three students at the University of Dundee. If you've got any comments or questions for Natalie or Iona after listening to this podcast, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, that's edutalkr, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. So many thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for listening.